a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, "Any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade."
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor, you work for the city housing department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the corporation counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh, I said, "This is it, we're dead. We're not going to make it out of here."
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
"For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse."
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
"If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, right, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking treasonous exposition."
"This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure this one you ever get to the bottom of it."
"We have to, or we can't save our country, sir."
"I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, I don't think."
"There's a problem. It's a 30-year-old conspiracy."
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
"I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse."
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
"I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things of that nature, to go in there as soon as they possibly can."
What ties these threads together is the persistent whisper that 9/11's
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. I am Brian Morrell. We're glad that you're all jumping on with us today. It's been a heavy day in regards to everything going on with Jeffrey Epstein. I just keep hearing about Jeffrey Epstein everywhere I go. And, you know, I'm not liking what we're seeing here. The good news is, though, we have a jam-packed next 3 hours for you guys all at home right now. I'll be joined by Ann Vandersteel later in today's program. She's got a lot that she wants to discuss in regards to biometrics. And there's a lot there, especially if you're someone who uses Discord as well. They'll be trying to capture your biometrics. So I should break down the latest on that. Kevin Smith is also going to be joining the program as well. He is a podcast host, and he's my fellow New Yorker. So I just like catching up with Kevin and having Kevin on for that purpose alone. But Kevin's got a lot that he also wants to discuss. And I look forward to talking to him. We have those two guests joining the program today. It's not just that, though. We got our eye on a couple of things going on right now. The heads of a lot of these massive departments, we're talking like ICE, Border Patrol, Immigration Services. Well, they're expected to testify today in front of the House Homeland Security Committee. Now, that's happening at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. We will jump to that once they begin asking the tough questions because, folks, I've got a lot of questions. I have a feeling Democrats are going to use this as a political opportunity just based on, you know, my gut instinct there. So we look forward to seeing what happens over there. We also will keep our eyes on President Trump because throughout the day, he's got a lot going on in the afternoon. His schedule is very light in the morning. It's very heavier in the afternoon, just so you know. That's my, what I've witnessed over these last few weeks. At 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, he is participating in a signing time. So we don't have the details on that. We just know that it's in the Oval Office and it's close to the press. Then later at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, the president is participating in a policy meeting. And that, again, will be at the Oval Office and closed to the media. But then at 7 p.m. Eastern time today, he's expected to participate in a private dinner, that being held, obviously, at the White House. And again, that is also closed to the media. So a lot happening there. Media won't be allowed access into, but we'll keep our eye in case anything does pop off on the president's agenda later today. We're also keeping our eye on a press conference that's expected to be had later this morning, actually, by Chuck Schumer and members of his team. So we will bring that to you when that also begins, because that's going to be a big one. There's all these rumors floating around out there as to what they're going to talk about. So we will bring that to you once it begins. But of course, a lot happening on that front. Let's jump into the Epstein stuff, because this is, like, every day I feel like I'm trying to keep up with what's happening, and there's a lot happening. But there wasn't a lot happening yesterday during the deposition, and I told you about that yesterday morning, and I warned you. I said, we're not going to really hear much. I have a feeling she's going to plead the fifth. And that's exactly what happened. Now, we officially have some of that audio that was recently released by the committee yesterday. Take a listen to this. This is how Ghislaine Maxwell's deposition went in clip one.
Ms. Maxwell, were you a close friend and confidant of Jeffrey Epstein?
I would like to answer your question, but on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer this question and any related questions. My habeas petition is pending in the Southern District of New York. I therefore invoke my right to silence under the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Ms. Maxwell has invoked the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. Ms. Maxwell, please be very clear. Are you declining to answer the question put to you solely on the ground that you believe the answer will incriminate you?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
Ms. Maxwell, did you at any time play any role in Jeffrey Epstein's activities involving the recruitment, grooming, or trafficking of young women or girls?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
Let the record reflect that Ms. Maxwell has invoked the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination.
That did not go as, I guess, members of the House committee wanted it to go. She went on to repeatedly say that I plead the Fifth throughout the rest of the deposition. It folded in less than an hour. That was a virtual deposition, by the way, because she is in prison right now. It's actually a low security prison. She got a little bit of a cushy deal after she met with the deputy AG, Todd Blanche. And again, she's not willing to speak until she's provided with some form of a pardon, clemency, whatever the president will give her to get her out of there. Now, of course, President Trump knows this is an evil woman. And so it's highly unlikely that he's going to do any of that. He's actually just already moved on. I know a lot of people think, oh, maybe he'll probably not going to happen. The president is very clear that he's not happy with any of this and he's ready to move on and wants the rest of the country to do just that as well. But the rest of us dispute that. Now, yesterday, Thomas Massie held a press conference and it was quite the enlightening experience because obviously yesterday we told you also that members of Congress were going to be able to go view the unredacted Epstein files. So a lot of the key questions that you and I all had as to like, why are all these people's emails being, you know, redacted? Like, can't we just see the first name? It didn't seem to make any sense. Although the DOJ is claiming that they legally have to, I'd argue that probably not. I've seen documents before get released and they never redacted the email addresses, but obviously they're doing their very best to follow the law, I'm sure. But in clip two, you're going to listen to Thomas Massie, who is out here calling out all the nonsense that's going on behind the scenes. In fact, he apparently, when he was reviewing the information, he says that there were six key names that were redacted in the Epstein files that shouldn't have been redacted. Take a listen to clip two.
Can you share with us the name of the six men that you identified?
I probably should do that from the floor or in a committee hearing.
Review.
Yeah, I would like to give the DOJ a chance to say they made a mistake and over-redacted and let them unredact those men's names. That would be probably be the best way to do it.
So how much are the redacted?
So as many of you guys know, when you stand on the House floor and you make accusations, you are immune to civil liability. And that is probably why Thomas Massie is doing just that. Now, listen, folks, I'm not on board the Me Too movement, so I would want to make sure that those who are being accused are authentically, really, truly involved in this sexual assault. Well, these sexual assaults that took place on so many young women. But the reality of it is we continue to hear that from these victims, and these victims aren't spilling names. Why aren't they doing so? Say their names. Say all of their names. I'm not a fan for what I see going on right now, and I know many of you at home aren't. You know, I get what Congressman Thomas Massie's doing. Although I do believe he's someone who lives up to his own morals and he tries his very best to carry through with that based on his moral compass. Obviously, I know a lot of people are critical and believe that this is now politically motivated, but the president is taking shots at his wife. So again, there's motive there to keep this going. But I have to say, I'm really impressed with what Congressman Thomas Massie's been doing so far, although I'm not a big fan of it happening on CNN and those kind of outlets because we all know that they hate President Trump and he's now often a fixture on outlets like CNN. I will say, though, that I do appreciate the pressure. These names shouldn't be redacted. We all know just that. And it really is truly frustrating that they won't say these names. They should be saying these names. They should be saying these names. Todd Blanche yesterday also was someone who was not very excited to see what was said in that press conference and what was also being said on X by Thomas Massie. Todd Blanche put this up saying, you looked at the document, you know, it's an email that was redacted. Again, he's claiming that the DOJ legally has to redact emails. And then he goes on to saying, you know who the person is. And then he says the person's name is later unredacted in other pieces of information. Now, I thought I put this clip in here, but it doesn't look like I did. But Thomas Massie was on CNN yesterday. I'll pull that up for you guys in a second. For now, though, let's play clip 11, because clip 11, that's the one. I did put it in there. Thanks, Dan. Let's get to clip 11, because this one I think is really, really telling. Take a listen.
An example of something, maybe it wasn't intentional on their part. I'd like to hear his take on the redaction of the CEO, who's listed as a co-conspirator in the 2019 child sex trafficking case.
So can I ask you, because, and I want to ask if this is the same person, Todd Blanche also said about that tonight, that the document you're citing there has victim names in it.
Correct.
Seeming to say that's why there are redactions. He said, we have just unredacted Les Wexner's name from this document, but his name already appears in the file thousands of other times. And he says the Justice Department is hiding nothing. Is that the retired CEO that you're referencing?
It is. He unredacted it after I found it. That's a problem. And I'm glad they've admitted they made a mistake by redacting that.
So you're saying it was redacted when you went in there today, and after you tweeted that, they unredacted it?
Correct. Now he's got four other names he needs to unredact. Did he respond to that? There's a list of 20 people, and there's four men in there that need to be unredacted. Here's another troubling thing that I found.
Can you say who those four men are tonight?
I don't think they're well known, and so if I did, it wouldn't matter, but I could probably say them on the floor of the House, but I'll give the DOJ a chance to do what they did in these two examples, where I've discovered something and now they've responded.
Now, obviously, Thomas Massie is trying to limit the legal liability that he might have in civil court by making names or by stating names. That is something, again, that I am extremely cautious about all the time, because, again, folks, people love to sue in this country. And so you have to be very, very cautious. So I understand why he's forcing the DOJ to say it. That's the problem right now. Obviously, the DOJ is fired up, not very, very happy with Congressman Thomas Massie for going out there and being very persistent every single day. So he has to watch his back, and I'm on board for that. I understand why he has to do just that. And I think it's interesting, when you apply a little bit of pressure, they do eventually admit, all right, maybe you caught us there. Maybe you caught us there. Now, again, there's over, what, 3.2, 0.5 million pages that have been dumped out onto the web. So I understand that there's going to be some errors. But they've had over a year to prepare for this. I mean, this was a campaign commitment. This only was forced out because, of course, they had to push through legislation to do just that. I want to turn, and this is what we briefly discussed yesterday, because this is also super important. But the congressman is also teaming up with Thomas Massie. Congressman Khanna says that, he's from California, by the way. I'd say he's more of a moderate on certain issues, especially when it comes, he's been fair in some issues, I'll say, for a Democrat at least. That's a very low bar, though. He believes, though, that this Epstein scandal is actually going to go and now threaten the British establishment, not just here in the U.S. again, folks. This is also what he's saying is going to happen in the U.K. as well. Take a listen to clip three.
Well, Mandelson may bring down the whole government, from what I hear. You know, he just engaged in terrible behavior. I mean, the allegations are very serious that he was working for Gordon Brown and then feeding information about UK possibly buying euros and having Epstein trade on that. I mean, it is a deeply, deeply troubling. And, you know, Epstein's, I saw this interview with Epstein's former girlfriend talking about how someone is a loser if they weren't mentioned in the Epstein files. It's a window into the elite impunity, this club. And by the way, I think this is the most vulnerable the British monarchy has ever been. I mean, I heard they were asking the Queen questions about the Epstein class. They ought to ask the King and Queen questions, and maybe this will be the end of the monarchy.
Yeah, so this isn't probably going to be the end of the monarchy, but gosh, does it blow it open? It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Now, again, we got our eye on a bunch of other things that are taking place as well. And I find it to be really fascinating, honestly, when we go through all of this. And we'll play a clip with Ann Vandersteel as well in regards to how this will affect big tech. Because I was watching yesterday in Parliament in the UK what was going on the floor. And there was a lot of back and forth being being had and spoken on the floor yesterday. We'll be talking about that, though, and the effects it's going to have in the UK as well with Ann Vandersteel in just a little bit. That'll be in the second hour of the program. But again, there is a lot that's happening right now, and it's not just affecting us here in the United States. It is affecting those overseas because the corruption is starting to be exposed piece by piece. And the fact that they all knew about this, they were all participants in this. Folks, the government's going to continue to dump millions and millions of documents onto the rest of the people and tell us there's nothing here. Then why would the DOJ and the FBI gather 3.5 million pages of documents if there was nothing there? That's obviously something there that they're not telling you about. It was also reported, too, this was by Congresswoman Luna yesterday. She's claiming that Ghislaine Maxwell is claiming to be a victim of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, keep in mind, we broke that story to you about how Jeffrey Epstein actually used her for, or brought her into this country on an H-1B. So now she's claiming to be a victim. Ain't that something? She seems to look like she was living a high life during all of this, though. I don't know if I'd call that a victim. By the way, when it comes to why we're not hearing from victims, and specifically the names of the individuals that they are accusing of sexually abusing them, I know a lot of them tend to believe that they will have they're in civil jeopardy, that they could potentially be sued. Elon Musk actually came out in a tweet saying that he's willing to pay for their legal fees if something does come about. So he wants these victims to speak out. He wants them to do that. And he is willing and a willing participant in all of this to fight back. And says if something does happen, that yes, I will in fact pay their legal fees. So he's on board with getting down with the truth. And I think that's really, really critical in all of this. Really, really critical in all of this. So let's see. We should be having a Chuck Schumer. I'm waiting for the details on that. Chuck Schumer is expected to speak later this morning as well. We'll get you those details, though, when we do have them. But I have a feeling, I think we were talking about this a little bit before the show, just to verify, though, we'll get you those details, that it might have something to do with sex trafficking, which would be quite the interesting revelation, if true. Speaking of that, I want to get to this clip because Alan Dershowitz, obviously, Epstein's attorney, he has been very, very stern in denying any allegations that he himself was involved in sexually abusing young girls on Epstein Island and throughout his time with Jeffrey Epstein. And he's getting fired up. He's upset, though, because the people who he says are accusing him, the women who are accusing him, or the specific one female is accusing him, he doesn't know who his accuser's name is, which obviously is a constitutional violation, of course. But they're not in a criminal courtroom. Take a listen to clip four, what has Dershowitz fired up.
McCarthyism that has afflicted America since the 1950s. When you look at this paper that has been reproduced and sent by the Justice Department, it's called Prominent Names. And it's a list of prominent people who have been accused. Every single name of every accuser has been blacked out. So, for example, let's turn to me. It says blank, 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 blacked out, stated she gave him a massage on Epstein's plane, parenthesis, not a minor. So let's understand that. This is an adult, a woman who was on Epstein's plane. She says, I was never on an Epstein plane with a young woman.
Right.
I never got a massage. This is total defamation, a total lie, but I can't disprove it because they won't give me her name. That's McCarthyism. On the issue of his spying let me continue.
Let's get
on
to
the
that.
Issue of his for the Mossad, that comes from what is called an undercover confidential source. I happen to know who the source is. The source is somebody who the FBI investigated, found to be totally incredible, lacked all credibility. This is the worst form of McCarthyism. Why are we tolerating this? Why are we allowing accusations without the names of the accusers? For example, in my case, it's an adult woman. We don't know whether she's a victim. We don't know whether she's a perpetrator. We don't know whether she's a co-conspirator. Why do you hide her name and produce the name of the people who are accused? That's guilt by accusation. That's guilt by association. It's McCarthyism. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. It has to stop.
Obviously, he should know who's accusing him of a crime. I would highly encouraged that he finds out. I don't know why we're going to hide that from him. But again, he's not being criminally charged in any case. But again, he's been accused by others. I mean, Alan Dershowitz has been fired about this for quite some time. I remember when I was actually working at Newsmax, we were just like, don't even talk about Epstein. They didn't want to talk about Epstein because they could get him fired up. But obviously, folks, it's a lot of questions. Americans want to find out the answers to a lot of this. And rightfully so. We're going to keep following it, obviously, as it continues to develop. A lot of people are fired up, and we've got our eye on it. We've got our eye on it. Folks, I want to shift gears over a little bit to couple more interesting stories that we have our eye on. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but the DOJ actually put in a motion yesterday to have that contempt of Congress charge against Steve Bannon completely dismissed. They're looking just to get it tossed out right now. Now, Bannon, obviously, as many of you guys know, served prison time, but he was appealing. And so this would wipe out that appeal because now the DOJ is admitting that they shouldn't have charged Bannon in the first place. Judge Pirro, as many of you guys know, she's the D.C. attorney, cites that this shouldn't have happened in the first place and actually in the best interest of justice, dismissing this criminal charge against Steve Bannon is for the best of the interest of justice, I guess how they're trying to phrase it. Interesting. The timing on everything is quite interesting. Again, I mean, I'm not saying that Steve Bannon is guilty of anything, but obviously his name is coming up often in the Epstein files as well. And just something to keep your eye on there. Again, I want to hear more from people whose names are being dropped in these Epstein files. Because I've told you guys here on this show, I understand, and I'm not going to sit here and jump down their backs and say, I know you did something, because I don't know. But I do truly believe that we do need to have these people brought in, and we need to ask them some tough questions. Under oath, bring them in, and let's talk about it. It's what the American people need right now. Folks, I want to direct you right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we have an incredible sale going on right now. This is the limited time bundles. You support us is what keeps us on air. When you support the broadcast, you get real value. And we're doing just that right now. Ultimate gut and brain bundle right now. When you bundle up some of your favorite products over at the alexjonesstore.com, like methylene red, methylene blue, and obviously colostrum, you're going to get an incredible discount. That means when you bundle these up, you guys are getting 50% off. Now, again, that's really, really impressive. So normally this would be a value of about $209, closer to $210, I'd say. And now we're cutting that in half, actually more than half. You're getting it at $99.99. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the ultimate gut and brain bundle. And this is going to be incredible for both of something. Let's just say you're someone who's trying to decrease the amount of brain fog you have every day. This is the bundle you're going to want. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. And make sure you snag that. Now, we also have another incredible deal as well, the Modern World Survival Stack. This is Rebuilt, Reloaded, and Defend. That is what this bundle is all about. It's normally about $185, but you're going to get it for about a little less than $90 right now. Keats, just so you guys know, the package includes the CMOS capsules, Atomic Defense, and the Shilajit complex as well. So you got to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and snag these bundles. It's an incredible package deal that you're going to get exclusively over at the alexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we support you. I'm going to give you this incredible value. So head on over to the shop right now. If you haven't done so, try these suggested packages out. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. 50% off for the time being over at the alexjonesstore.com.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum that's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money. Dishevel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You know, say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless, other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. How's everyone doing today?
Doing good.
It was kind of a slow news cycle a little bit, right? There's like a lot of Epstein stuff going on out there. I also forgot to mention President Trump was vindicated yet again. One of the other files that was dropped, the document that was released, shows that actually President Trump was one of the first people to come forward and say that he knew Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were a problem. And that comes from a former law enforcement officer who put that in the docs, obviously. The mainstream media won't tell you about that one, but I definitely should be the one to tell you about that one. I know a lot of people out there like to accuse the president of being a part of all of this, although I will say his response has been improper. It has not been appropriate. It has been something that I obviously condemn. But the reality of it is they try to sit there and try to create a direct lineage to Epstein and President Trump, and that's not the case. But folks, they're getting caught in their own lies. No one's gonna run that story. No one's gonna run the fact that he was the very first individual, one of the first individuals to call Epstein out and to let local law enforcement know that, yeah, this is actually a problem. But let's shift gears a little bit. You know, when it comes to people I strongly dislike, I don't hate anyone, but I definitely think Piers Morgan's a fraud. I definitely think Piers Morgan's a fraud. Piers Morgan has told you, the American people, and Brits as well, a lot of things that have been not true. He pushes, obviously, propaganda for the big pharma machine, for the establishment. He is someone who plays it safe. He now wants to appear like he's somewhat controversial. And so he has a bunch of controversial guests on his show, but he's poorly informed. And as through many interviews that he's done over the last few years, you could tell that whenever he's pushed back upon, he usually collapses. Now, I don't like Piers Morgan. I actually think that, and this is my opinion, I do believe that he is someone who is being used to try to win over a conservative audience, maybe, you know, your Fox News audience, and to make it appear like he is favorable towards conservatives, but he's not. He's not. He's the one who went out there and demonized individuals for wanting to stand up for their medical freedom by not participating in an experimental vaccine experience that so many Americans now have sadly either lost their lives over or they have long-term health issues with. Piers Morgan wanted you to think that just because you wanted to just hold off and wait, that you were a bad person. You were a very bad person. Piers Morgan, I think, is an awful human being. And so I've declined several times going on his show just because I don't think he's a good person. I think he's the reason why the UK is one of the many reasons the UK was invaded by foreigners. He's been a coward on so many issues. And you know it's bad when it's Megyn Kelly calling Piers Morgan out to his face, because Piers Morgan wants to lecture the rest of us about how we should all just tolerate things like what you saw at the Super Bowl. Or you probably didn't see it because you're smart enough to turn the channel. But yesterday, he had a discussion with Megyn Kelly, and I got to give Megyn Kelly credit when credit's due, and this was a good one. She puts Piers Morgan in his place, and again, this is what happens because Piers Morgan is such a coward, poorly informed, can't actually hold up his own arguments because they're not his own personal arguments. He's just, in my opinion, speaking for the machine. Take a listen to clip 5.
I'm sorry, Piers, but to get up there and perform the whole show in Spanish is a middle finger to the rest of America. Who gives a damn that we have 40 million Spanish speakers in the United States? We have 310 million who don't speak a lick of Spanish. This is supposed to be a unifying event for the country, not for the Latinos, not for one small group, but for the country. We don't need a black national anthem. We don't need a Spanish-speaking, non-English performing performer, and we don't need an ICE or America hater featured as our primetime entertainment.
Okay, what is the national language, officially, the national language of the United States of America?
I mean, English. And there's been a push for many years to make it an official documented thing.
You don't have one.
If you would have let me finish my comment, I would have pointed that out, but people have been pushing to make it official.
Okay, right, so you're trying to make official.
This attitude that you have right here is why you in Great Britain have lost your culture. You ceded your culture to a bunch of radical Muslims who came in and took over, and now it's gone. We're not allowing that here, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's Muslim. It's not happening in the United States of America. That's why President Trump was elected. And whether it's Bad Bunny, who is American but refuses to speak English in his performances, or anybody else, we have to keep the Super Bowl, which is a quintessential American event. Football, that kind of football, is ours. They call it American football. And the halftime show and everything around it needs to stay quintessentially American. Not Spanish, not Muslim, not anything other than good old-fashioned American apple pie. There should be a meatloaf, maybe some fried chicken, and an English-speaking performer. That's what the Super Bowl should be.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to pass on the meatloaf. Fried chicken depends... But folks, she's spot on. That's why you saw Piers Morgan shut his mouth and get back in his little cuck chair. That is what Piers Morgan is all about. Piers Morgan is a traitor to his own people. In fact, his country has turned into a hellhole that he's actually fled. And he also does actually live here in the United States. Now, I think Piers Morgan should be forced to live in the UK full time. We shouldn't allow him to stay here in the US. He should be forced to live there full time. He is a horrible person. A horrible person. You see, he loves to go out there and lecture the rest of us, and he smirks and he loves. What's your national language? The national language, Piers, is English. Is English. And I'm just so fed up with them pretending like they have some righteous path they should just sit here and lecture the rest of us on. No, Piers. You're a pile of garbage. my disliking, and I don't hate anyone, again, besides, you know, pedophiles and communists, but my disliking for Piers Morgan is actually very, very strong. I think he's a horrible person. I think he's a person who's done exactly whatever he had to do to get by so he gets to have his little platform. He pretends to have controversial guests on. They always flame him, though. Why? Because he's low IQ, because he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he just sticks to the talking points, and then behind it all, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Again, I've been asked to go on a show, and I don't do it. Why? Because I think he is a... probably can't say that word. I think he's an absolute fool. And that's me putting it nicely. It's just so infuriating that people like Piers Morgan think that they need to lecture the rest of us about how we need to live our lives. No. We don't need to take anything from Piers Morgan. Your country has been absolutely destroyed. Your girls can't even walk on the streets anymore without fears of being sexually abused by the radical Muslims that you brought into your country. I wouldn't even say radical. I just totally tossed the front word out. The Muslims you brought into your country. The reality of it is they've destroyed their own country. They continue to do just that. And he can't cover it for anymore. He's been the one trying to lie to you, make you feel bad. You want to keep your country white? How dare you? Guy's an absolute fool. There's not a grosser face in TV. And the only way, again, women aren't, and this is another thing too, unless you're on The View, that's the one exception to this rule. But women have to be semi-attractive not to be in TV. I know people don't like to hear this, but this is the truth. You got to work out. You can't be overweight. Unless, again, you're on The View. But the bar is significantly lower for Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is allowed to be as unattractive as he wants, have female breasts. They allow him to do that because, well, he spews their talking points. So good on Megyn Kelly. A win's a win. A dunk's a dunk. And she did just that to the repulsive Piers Morgan. If you ever want to get me fired up, ask me about Piers Morgan. Ask me how I truly feel. Ask me when we're not on radio. You'll get a very uncensored response in that case. Folks, remember when the Biden regime told you that children were not being trafficked into this country and they tried to lie about the thousands of children that actually were being trafficked in? Well, time and time again, we see more pieces of evidence that kids were being purchased and still are to this day. This next story is going to have your stomach turn. There's an individual who's apparently a registered sex offender. This comes from the Daily Wire. A registered sex offender paid smugglers to bring a child across the border from Honduras and was luckily stopped before this young girl was given to him. This is all thanks, according to this Daily Wire reporter, to the Trump crackdowns on the sponsorship programs for unaccompanied alien children. According to the court documents, the child who made the journey with her mother but was separated before crossing into the country was rescued before she ended up in the hands of an Alaska man, Douglas Price. Now, apparently he's a registered sex offender who has a rap sheet. That poor mother, that poor daughter, who knows what they told him, what lie they told him. Price paid roughly $5,000 to fund the mother and daughter to the dangerous journey, which was our border, through payments from his business, Black Bear Construction. He allegedly sent those funds to a phone number provided by the smugglers. Price was also sent photos of himself to the mother and inquired about the daughter's status. What an absolute pig. Folks, if convicted, this man should be just dragged straight to the chair. I'm so fed up with how soft we go on crime in this country. Thank God they stepped in and caught this. Thank God. So many children were smuggled into this country, thousands. I think the number was somewhere from 400 to 450. That's 1,000, by the way. Migrant children that were shuffled to this country. And nothing ever happened there, right? Who's going to prison? No one. Now, according to reports, and we're keeping our eye on this, and I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve, but Senator Chuck Schumer is introducing a bill to remove statute of limitation from sex trafficking crimes. Now he's expected to speak, and we'll bring it to you at 9:30. Sorry, it's going to be 10:30 Eastern time. Now, I can only imagine why he's doing that, folks. As someone who my original beat was reporting on New York. As many of you guys know that they lifted the civil liability, the civil portions of a lot of these sex crime laws, so that you could accuse someone. There was no statute of limitation anymore. And they had like an exemption for a full year where you could file a claim. And it was specifically carved out for what you saw unravel against President Donald Trump. They wanted him to be accused of being a sexual abuser in court. Obviously, they had no physical evidence, so they couldn't get him in a criminal courtroom. So they decided to manipulate the laws in New York and to drag him into civil court. Now, it backfired, though. So I'm going to give you the background on it. It backfired because people like Andrew Cuomo, who was on board with all of this when he thought it was exclusively going to go after President Trump, people like Andrew Cuomo found themselves wrapped up into all of it. Why? Because, well, Andrew Cuomo is a creep. I even had my friends have personal dealings with Cuomo. He didn't discriminate. He also went after conservative women as well. Dude's a creep. But he thought he was immune because he thought, oh, this is going to be used against Trump. And it wasn't. It was also used to go after him as well. But folks, this is what they do. Now, hear me out. I am all on board with those who were sexually abused to come forward, to have their day in court, to seek their justice. I believe, though, these claims should be heard in a criminal courtroom before they ever make their way into civil. Because again, we've seen it time and time again. So many women falsely claim that they are sexually abused. They go after people. They go after their reputation, target them. And these cases would never make their way into a criminal courthouse. Why? Because there's no physical evidence. There's no actual evidence of a sexual assault. And we've seen this time and time again. Women coming forward, accused of something, and they come forward and they accuse these men of something and they destroy their entire lives. And the time, I mean, just a prime example. As many of you guys know, I used to cover baseball. Trevor Bauer was at his top of his game, had just won Cy Young, which for those of you who don't follow baseball, is one of the top awards that one could actually win. He was accused by a woman of sexual assault. Now, I, for one, was one of them who was like, oh my, this looks like this happened. She had the medical records. There was bruising. There were photos that I myself was completely infuriated when I saw the details. But it wasn't until Trevor Bauer dragged that woman to civil court, was able to get a look at the phone that she was using, got his hands on the metadata, and found that a lot of the images that she took from even inside of his home showed that she was fine. And so his team accused this woman of lying to the public, but most importantly, staging it. Now, the woman did get a settlement, but it was from, I believe it was her insurance company, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't pay out a dime, but his reputation was forever ruined and everything started crumbling. Everyone started realizing, oh, he actually might have not abused women. And the only reason why we know this now is because Trevor Bauer fought back and he sued this woman and he got his hands on her metadata, something that law enforcement didn't do for him. So my point is this. I mean, Trevor Bauer has never been able to come back to Major League Baseball. For my sources, the wives don't want him on any of the teams. They still view him as toxic, even though he's proven that he did not sexually abuse any of these women. And so there's that. Specifically, though, let me just highlight the point that the lawsuit itself highlighted that one woman, and I should have had her on. I know Sarah Gonzalez had her on the show afterwards and grilled her. But this is the problem, right? Because there are thousands and thousands of children who are abused in this country. And so I'm not on board for allowing there to be an avenue for those with false claims to come forward and make these claims publicly about people and men not being able to defend themselves. I'm not on board with any of that, but I am on board with those who want to make claims to come forward and present their evidence because that is acceptable. And we need to tell people more often that you need to, in case you are sexually assaulted, you need to gather as much physical evidence as possible. But the fact, and this is what's going on now, Chuck Schumer thinks that they're going to somehow, some way, get rid of the statute of limitation. on sex trafficking crimes? Do it, Chuck Schumer. I dare you. I dare you. Why? Because the Biden regime was one of the biggest, biggest allies to sex traffickers. I'd actually say they were probably in on all of it, considering the fact that they were shuffling around children anywhere from, what, 400,000 to 450,000 migrant children that got lost in this country. Many of them now sex trafficked, maybe had their organs harvested. We don't know. Can't find them. I think the administration, this current administration, has only found about 100,000 children so far. Where are those freaking children? And why isn't anyone actually asking these tough questions? Chuck Schumer, if you want to sit here and waive any statute of limitation on sex trafficking charges, I dare you. I dare you to do it. In fact, I would say Republicans should get on board, because that means that members of the Biden-Obama regime are going to go to prison, if we're actually doing this properly. And we could do this. We could drag this on. If they want to wait a couple more years, perfect. Perfect. I'd have to look into what the current statute of limitation on a lot of these laws are. I'm sure I'm going to wait for his press conference to be had so we could listen in and see what he's specifically citing. But folks, Chuck Schumer is only doing this not because he cares about sex trafficking and the victims. He's doing this. There's probably some backhanded movement in all of this to go after President Trump. They're going to claim that he had some part in it. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what's being made right now, but I can promise you they don't do anything for nothing. These people are scum. These people are scum. So that press conference will begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. I'll bring it to you as it begins. But I could promise you nothing good probably will come from it. Because why is Chuck Schumer doing this now? Oh, it's convenient. Right before midterms. Makes sense. All right, let's dive into this. This one gets me also fired up. I'm just fired up on a lot of fronts right now, but I'm so fed up with these Republicans who think that they are somehow exclusive when it comes to the government spying on them. A lot of these individuals were ones that supported FISA, still support FISA. They support a lot of the mass surveillance that goes on in this country. In fact, they continue to fund agencies like TSA, when TSA is sending your biometrics to DHS, illegally storing it, lying to the American people. These senators support it, and it's on both sides of the aisle. They're both scum. Bill Hagerty is a senator, obviously, as many of you guys know, and he's fired up. He's angry because why? Well, Bill thinks that he shouldn't be spied on by the government. And so he's fired up. He's actually calling for the FCC to initiate an investigation into Verizon for handing over the phone records of certain politicians, GOP lawmakers. In a post he did just that, he outlined that Verizon broke my trust. Bill, no. They illegally shared my data. And the CEO of Verizon won't respond to him. No, Bill. Why do you guys think you guys are a part of an elite class that should be exempt from being spied on? Why should the American people tolerate being spied on by our government? But you, Bill, am I going to call him senator? Let's just call him Bill. Let's bring him down a little bit because he's on his high horse right now. Bill thinks that he should be exempt from the United States federal government spying on him, from Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, spying on him. Now, first off, Verizon was subpoenaed to hand over these records. Okay, now whether or not, I always believe companies should fight back on these subpoenas, but whether or not they choose to do so is up to them. It's completely up to them. But if they're handed a legal document, then yes, they can go about giving them those records. They don't have to legally fight back. That is up to them. And so when Bill comes out here and tells you, it's just like, you know, Lindsey Graham, another name that will get your blood boiling on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Lindsey Graham is another one. He's so upset. Jack Smith spied on me. Yeah, buddy. Get over it. They spied on all of us. You know, when the Obama regime was spying on journalists, several journalists, whether you're at the AP, whether you're at Fox News, whether you were Cheryl Atkinson, guess what? They didn't speak up for any of them. Cheryl Atkinson, by the way, still fighting that. That happened to Barack Obama, and our current administration is still making her fight that case. She knows they spied on her. She has all the evidence. I've done interviews with her. She's great. But man, oh man. No one seems to care. Unless you spy on senators. They are they're above us all. And so now they're calling for a probe by the FCC. How about you just say, yeah, well, we actually don't support mass surveillance against anyone. Yesterday, too, by the way, we shared that article with you about how Democrats are now fired up because they're worried about the body cams that ICE agents might start getting, or they're supposed to be getting, because they're afraid that their biometrics might be stored in some database that might be put on a list. Welcome to InfoWars, folks. We've been talking about this for years. Years. The government already has your biometrics. Everyone has your biometrics. I push back still at the airport because it's about principle. It's about principle. So I just thought that was really funny. All right, I want to shift gears a little bit besides, you know, talking about the people that pretend to be allies in this big fight. They only fight for themselves, not the rest of us, though. Let's shift gears a little bit. There was a judge, Judge Tracy Davis, who's being covered by the local news in Louisville because, well, she's decided that she doesn't like a recommended sentence for an individual who was sent or was convicted of being a rapist and a kidnapper. So this individual, the recommended prison sentence for this individual was 65 years. But Judge Tracy Davis, even though the individual, the convict, the rapist, is not asking for any mercy, in fact, the exact opposite. Well, Davis is obviously a race baiter. And she's trying her best to advocate for this rapist who just happens to be a black man. And although he's literally saying, I don't want your empathy, F off, she still is empathetic towards this rapist. Take a listen to clip six.
Judge Davis thought the jury's recommendation was too long. She feels he hasn't mentally matured yet and never had a real shot at getting any help early in life.
But if you were to come in here and instead of being hurt and angry, which is what this court hears, right, as a 20-year-old African-American male that has been, you know, experienced this society, etc., and you would show that, yes, okay, this is the situation. This is who I am. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be in jail forever.
Thompson repeatedly stated he did not care, not about his sentence, the victim, or her family. But Judge Davis emphasized she's the one that holds the pen, and regardless of what the media may think, she applies the law. To her, 65 years was an extremely long time. As she puts it, it's his whole life, one she doesn't believe should be spent entirely behind bars.
This court does not believe that Mr. Thompson, if given the resources that he can get while incarcerated, is beyond being rehabilitated.
These people are treasonous pigs. Take her off the bench. She's a fool. Folks, we'll be right back with more to discuss in just a bit.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small, nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire of Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now. at thealexshowstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexshowstore.com.